Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, chef, instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid, lifelong hunter. And I'm here with my co-host, American extraordinaire, Chris Gesualdi. How you doing?
Good, Chad. How you doing?
I'm doing great today, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth, live on heritageradionetwork.org. But guess what, chef? We're going to go off topic.
Look a little uptight today.
I'm uptight. I'm fired up. Ready to go. We are, if you tuned in last week, you know we were talking about gun control.
You don't have any bullets in your clip, do you?
No, of course not. That would be illegal. I'm a law-abiding citizen, Chef. Why would I do that?
No more than seven, okay?
No more than seven. The old law was 10, okay? And we cut it down to seven with the SAFE Act. So now, you know, I'm feeling safe walking around the streets of Bushwick.
It's just like plating in the kitchen. You want to have an odd number, not an even number, okay?
Right.
Seven. That's
right.
Why they did it.
You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as mechanical. That's what they say about plating, right? It's not as mathematical. So if we have seven, we're more artistic in how we load our magazines.
I think they should have kept it at five so you can count it on your fingers and not screw it up.
Well, you know what else about five? They actually make a magazine that could hold five. There is no magazine on the face of the earth that actually holds seven rounds. So I was thinking about going into business. I'm a capitalist. I admit it. There. I said it. I'm a capitalist.
Like a box of cereal. You get 20% more?
Yeah, exactly. No, but, you know, we have Simcast we work with, metal guy. He does metal sculptures and whatnot. We have him make up some seven-round magazines. We'd make a fortune, right? And it'd be legal. So but we're getting off subject already. Here's the point today. We ran out of time last week. This is the hot topic right now, gun control, Governor's SAFE Act, the NRA on one side, working on their lawsuit. I keep getting email updates. They got the best constitutional lawyers looking over the bill, and they are recommending that no other members bring a lawsuit against the state or the governor about the bill until they get to review it, and they will do a class action lawsuit. So I can't wait for that. And then on the other hand, we got the gun control lobby organizations, people, who just want to, again, like last week, melt down all our guns and make peace symbol necklaces. I respect both sides. We talked about this last week, but I have a definite opinion. And within that opinion, my opinion is framed through the Second Amendment, my right to bear arms. It's not about hunting. Stop saying that. Two things I need everyone to stop saying. You don't need that rifle for hunting. It's not about, they never wrote the Second Amendment for hunting. Stop saying it. What are we talking, why are we wasting our time with this hunting argument? It wasn't, the Second Amendment doesn't say you have the right to bear arms and go hunting. Or you only have the right to own a hunting rifle. Or what we deem appropriate, even though we know next to nothing about rifles, their function and how they work, calibers, grains, weight, barrel twists, various actions to include fully automatic, semi-automatic, bolt action, lever action. We know nothing about that, but you don't need that rifle for hunting. First of all, an AR rifle is the perfect coyote gun, varmint hunting gun. You have multiple shots in quick succession to shoot a fast-moving animal, okay? So the AR is a hunting rifle or can be used as a hunting rifle. Why did the military adopt the AR platform? Don't say assault rifle. I'll lose my mind. Don't say it. Enough with that. If I hear assault rifle one more time, I'm going to jump out this window. Because that is a made-up term. We talked about that last week, so I won't beat it to death. The AR rifle, the AR platform was adopted by purchased by the military from Colt or Armalite. I forgot. I think Armalite came first, the manufacturer of the AR rifle, Armalite. Rifle, AR, Okay, that's what it stood for. Not assault rifle. And why did the military buy it? It was cheap. It was easy to make. It's easy to disassemble and clean. And it's light. That's it. There was a big argument when they purchased the weapon that it actually was too small of a caliber to kill people effectively with. Okay? It was too small of a caliber. It is basically slightly bigger than a .22 plinker, what we call a plinker rifle, a thing that my 9-year-old son shoots. Okay? So that brings us to understanding a little bit about rifles. Sorry, I got a little heated there for a second, Chef.
Let it out, Chad. Let it out.
See, I can't see his eyes again with these glasses. I love it, but it drives me crazy. I can't see if he's reacting to my comment. But so what I thought we'd do here today is start off with my gangster of a producer. Came up with some great ideas. First of all, he's still dressed like a thug. He's got a black hat. Skull and crossbones, the hoodie again. He's unshaven. I mean, you see this guy coming up to you in Bushwick at night, and you're walking to the other side of the street. So maybe we should register and ban him, okay? Because that's the whole argument with the AR rifle. What I thought we would do, as per Jack's advice, because he's a radio guy. He knows what he's doing. I don't. I'm a dumb chef, you know, libertarian, patriot, whatever you want to call me. We'd start with the SAFE Act and kind of frame it out a little bit. We kind of ended the show last week with that, and we ran out of time. And I'm going to the website right now, the SAFE Act. You know, some key provisions in the SAFE Act we kind of go through. So, you know, the overall, Chef, they want to, first of all, ban what they call, quote-unquote, assault rifles, the AR rifle, the AR platform rifle. Okay, never mind the constitutional ramifications of that. And put that aside. I was supposed to have a guest today, a good friend of mine, a guy I hunt with, personal friend. And he was going to come on. He's a former emergency services police officer here in the city, SWAT team, basically. You know, we call it because, you know, in the new world, you can't say SWAT. It's the emergency service team. These guys were, you know, small unit teams with semi-automatic rifles and all the equipment. And these were the guys you wanted busting in your door at 3 in the morning when you hear the glass break. You're praying. You're on the phone calling 911. You're hoping this guy shows up with his AR platform rifle to keep you safe. Okay? And he was all gung-ho. And then we got off the phone. And then I got a call from him a couple hours later. And he was backtracking a little bit, and he said, you know, if I say something and someone takes offense to it as a police officer, it may be a big thing, and the union will get involved. And I respected that. I understood that. He doesn't want any hassle, you know. But it also reflects on our country and this whole discussion. Why are we afraid? No matter what part, whatever side you're on or whatever organization you represent, why are you afraid to state your opinion? It's your opinion. Stick with it. Fight for it. And why should we hold it against anybody? If I could have got a gun control activist to come in, which I can. I've been emailing and calling everyone. No one will come into my little bitty radio show, Chef.
We should call Ted Nugent.
We should call Ted Nugent. He's crazy enough to maybe show up. If you guys aren't aware of it, Ted Nugent is a big-time hunter. Has a couple of hunting shows on various hunting network, outdoor channel, and some other stuff. Big proponent of gun rights and all that. But so I said, well, fine, let me interview you a little bit and I'll just kind of relay your information. I'm not going to give his name. He's no longer with NYPD. He's now out on Long Island, taking it easy. You know, but this guy's been involved in hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of arrests, gun arrests, where taking guns off the street, kicking in doors. These guys are these are the guys you call in when you got the gangsters all in an apartment, with firearms. These are the guys you call for the serious stuff. Hundreds of arrests for gun violations here in the city. And the interesting thing, never, not once did he arrest someone for carrying a registered or legally owned firearm that was used in a crime. It's always unregistered. It's always illegal. It's always obtained out of state. It was always obtained by some method that was already covered by the law of this state, of this city. Okay? So having me, Chad Pagano, law-abiding citizen, patriot, register their rifle accomplishes absolutely nothing. What do you think of that, Jeff? That's a fact.
You said gangster. Are you allowed to say that? I thought you were supposed to just say they're just people that want your 60-inch television.
No, I think they like that, gangster.
Gangster?
Yeah, that's their title. Like, I'm a chef.
With the hoodies?
They're a gangster. Like Jack. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It's America. I'm a libertarian. You want to be a gangster, go right ahead. But understand the SWAT team's going to kick in your door and put you in cuffs and bring you to jail. So, you know, Police Commissioner Kelly yesterday actually was on the news and wrote a few articles, op-ed pieces for different newspapers I was reading. And he basically echoed what my buddy had told me the day or 2 days before. And it's AR rifles are not the problem. He said it. He said, well, listen, I don't quite understand that. I guess maybe politically he had to say it. The first sentence in the op-ed I read said, you know, I'm Ray Kelly. I'm the police commissioner of this fine city. And not that I think it's a bad thing that we banned all AR rifles, but let's be honest. We don't really arrest anybody. We've never really seen them. There was one or two arrests for they found them under a bed or something. It's pistols. It's handguns. It's these concealable weapons that are the problem here in the city that are killing everyone. So, you know, I wanted to have this guy in just to kind of talk to the problem. The problem with guns in this country is, again, you know, a culture of criminality, of mental illness. Anytime you hear about guns in a way, it's done by people who are using those guns improperly and illegally. It's not the law-abiding citizens. So the governor could write his SAFE Act, sneak it through, pass it in the middle of the night without any real meaningful debate. And, you know, the state senators who voted for this thing should be put on notice that, you know, enough with the voting for bills without reading them. Let's take our time and get it right. Because he also said to me, make sure you mention on your radio show that they didn't write a provision in for the police officers and law enforcement for the 7-round magazines. So these cops fall under the bill. There's no exemption for them. And they can't put more than 7 rounds in their AR rifles, in their pistols. And the governor wants to get on TV and say, no, it doesn't apply to them. Well, guess what, governor? The law does apply to police officers. They know it. You know it. And we know it. The reason it's not there, and it's not the biggest deal. I know they'll amend it and they'll do their little vote and they'll get it passed that the police have exemption. But it goes to the fact, it points to the fact that they rushed this bill through. It's another example of government just rushing it through before we could debate and actually discuss it. He was in a race to be the first governor to get a gun control act passed after that horrific event in Connecticut. And I'm really, you know, I'm tired of our government playing games with us, passing things for a political gain, we'll say.
See, I'm tired of all these, I call them stupid laws. We teach our children to put their seatbelts on. We teach them what to do in case there's a fire. People will think we're crazy. Why can't we teach them gun safety also? What do you think of that, Chad?
No, I agree.
When they're young, responsibility and moderation, there's not a dangerous thing on earth.
No, my son handles firearms in a safe manner with me there in an appropriate setting at the range or when we're hunting. And he, like me, will grow up with firearms and learn responsibility around those firearms. It's a serious matter. Of course it is. And that boils down to the whole personal responsibility thing, that we're losing our way in this country as far as blaming and regulating. Let's make a law. There are already laws for everything we need. No more laws. Just enforce the ones we have.
Why, if you're a far-left liberal, you have the right to say anything you want? And if you're in the middle, you can't say anything. What about being fair and balanced, listening to both sides of the story, and coming to common ground?
Right. And actually writing a bill that may actually keep us safe. That's what I would like. Exactly. And that's the point of this. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the SAFE Act right here before we got to go on break. There are some good things in here that I actually agree with on some levels. Mental health alert. That was good. Under the legislation, mental health professionals be required to report to local mental health officials when there is reason to believe a patient is likely to engage in contact that will cause serious harm to themselves or others. This information will then be cross-checked against the new comprehensive and regularly updated gun registry database. If the patient possesses a gun, the license will be suspended and law enforcement will be authorized to remove the person's firearm. I got an idea. Let's not have the registry, and let's let the police do their job. If you're a mental health professional and you have reason to believe that one of your patients is going to commit a crime, especially a violent crime, report it to the police. Let the police go like this. You ready? Hello, crazy person. The police are here. Open the door. We need to talk to you. It's called investigating. It's called not squashing the rights of Americans. And let him talk to the crazy person. Hi, sir. We understand you made a threat. Yeah, I did. Okay, do you have a firearm? No. I have reason to believe you do. We're going to get a search warrant. Go through the process. We don't need a registry, so we can make the government's job more convenient for them to squash the rights of every single American. That's the problem here. The registration is the problem, the main problem with this bill, the registry. They're taking a class of rifle, okay, that is no different than many rifles, and they're just, you know, legislatively eliminating it from our ability to own this rifle. It drives me crazy. Tougher assault weapons ban, second part here. The legislation outlines a stricter definition of assault weapons and implements an immediate ban of defined assault weapons. Under the stricter definition, semi-automatic pistols and rifles with detachable magazines and one military-style feature will be considered assault weapons. So it's a name they made up again, assault weapons. Semi-automatic shotguns with one military-style feature will also be considered assault weapons. Assault weapons possessed before the effective date must be registered within a year, recertified every 5 years, and owners of grandfathered assault weapons may only sell out of state through an in-state federal firearm license. Under the legislation, the Bushmaster used in Newtown, Connecticut shooting would be illegal. Well, guess what? No, it wouldn't, you liars. You're lying. It would not. All you would have to do is cut off the pistol grip on that rifle, and it would be completely legal. The rate of fire, the size of bullet, everything else on that rifle would remain exactly the same. The military feature they're really talking about, everyone, so we understand this, is a pistol grip that hangs off the bottom of the rifle. And if you think that would have prevented the shooting, you are ignorant at a minimum, or you're lying, like I believe our government is to us about this, because they know. They actually researched. They must have researched this and said, wow, how can we prevent another mass shooting? Well, let's see. Let's outlaw the pistol grip on the bottom of an AR rifle. That'll do it. Oh, so you could take a hacksaw to your pistol grip, okay, and still have it in your arsenal legally, okay? And you think that really would have prevented anything. It doesn't prevent the bullet from leaving the rifle, okay? These military-style options, as they say, what they're talking about, first of all, the pistol grip, the magazine. So it could have one, what they call a military option on the rifle. So that's built in. You have the magazine receptor where you put your magazine to load the rifle, right? So that's built in. You can't have the rifle without that. So there's your one. Benelli, a fine manufacturer of firearms, makes a rifle I believe is called the MR1. You guys are all going to Google that and look. I'm in the ballpark. It's an MR1, something like that. It is basically an AR rifle. It actually accepts AR magazines. Okay, the same exact magazine, the same caliber. Okay, the one difference, they just rounded out the bottom of the rifle so there is no pistol grip on it. It has the same rate of fire, same velocity, same everything. So we need to understand, Jeff, the weapon itself. Semi-automatic simply means a round is discharged from the rifle after I fire it, or the casing is discharged, and the new bullet cartridge is automatically loaded up for the next squeeze of the trigger. So I squeeze the trigger, bullets come out. Okay? That does not change because we take the pistol grip off. It doesn't change anything. This idea that the assault rifle is so effective because of a pistol grip is ridiculous. Everyone knows this. So it's just another example of the government doing things to do it and, you know, for fluff, to make it nice. Having said that, I think we need to take a break, Chef. I'm going on and on here. So let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with more Wild Game Domain on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You're listening to Top Gun by Tom Cruise on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Chef Chad Pagano, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Gesualdi. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Chad. What's up?
All right, we're back. And again, we're running out of time. This subject matter is so huge. And this is it. This is basically our last 15, 20 minutes here to get this out. So enough with the SAFE Act. I could shred it. You know, a quick overview. Another thing they did was the ammunition, federal background checks. I don't know if I'm so against that, but it's until I read the complete bill and see the actual fine print, I'm not believing anything, because there's a provision written in, and it's very vague about buying what they consider too much or amassing too much ammunition. You know, I recently just went out and bought 300 rounds of ammunition, legally purchased, Chef. It's in my safe, my fireproof safe, locked up. Is that too much?
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel great to know I had it, because the rifle I'm going to be firing this from, I shoot a lot. It's a smaller caliber rifle. My son shoots it. So when we go upstate, when we go out in the woods, or we go to the range, we could spend a couple hours shooting this rifle, having a good time. Working on his accuracy, his responsibility and gun ownership. And so 300 rounds, it's hard to say how long that will last me. Not very long. But who am I to question why I need – who is the government to question how many rounds I need? What's the difference? If you could only – you know, what are they worried about? If someone amasses, I don't know, what's a big number? Is 3,000 too much?
I mean, you only need one bullet to cause damage.
Thank you. So outside of outlawing bullets, what's the difference? And where do we draw the line? The government's going to decide 300 is too much? Why do you need 300? I just told you why. That's why. Okay, what's the difference? What am I going to do with 300 bullets? If law enforcement's involved, I'm not going to be able to do anything with 300 bullets except shoot them at the range and have fun with them. So there's kind of these things. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before, the magazine. So the AR rifle accepts a detachable magazine that I put bullets in, and this helps with the feeding of the ammunition into the weapon for a semi-automatic rate of fire. They make 30-round magazines. They make 200-round magazines, these ridiculous kind of circular magazines that go in. I don't know why anybody would need them. But again, I guess if you're at the range and you're too lazy to drop a magazine, I personally like dropping a magazine and putting a new one in. It's fun. But we had a law here, we still do as much as I understand, that you could have a 10-round magazine. You could have up to 10 rounds. You're at the range, you could put 10 rounds. Oh, we used to have 10 rounds in there. Now, with the new bill, it's 7. Explain to me the thought process.
Chef, I just don't get it.
So they eliminated 3 rounds from the magazine. How did any senator? I think they went to college, didn't they?
Maybe it's part of that little redistribution act that they've been trying to push, too.
Maybe. Where I bought my ammunition, by the way, it was a 300-round limit. we got to have enough for everyone. So that's why I only bought 300. I would have bought more. But my point being is, in that horrific event up in Connecticut, this animal, this savage that went into this school, do you know he was dropping half-full magazines? I think he had 30-round magazines, right? He was stocked up. He had them in his assault vest. Okay, and he went into the school to do what he did. Savage.
And wouldn't have mattered if he went in there with a cap gun. He had a mission.
Right. And listen, he was dropping half-filled magazines. He wasn't even expending everything out of the magazine. He was putting in new magazines. And you know what their theory is on this? You know why he was doing that? Because he's used to playing video games. He's used to playing Black Ops, where basically, you know, these Xbox games. My son plays them. Where you have an unlimited amount of rounds. You have an unlimited supply of magazines, basically. So every time my son in the video game goes into a new room, he doesn't know what to expect. So what does he do? He drops half-filled magazines and puts a full magazine in. Okay? So that's what this kid was doing. He was playing a video game in his warped, sick, demented mind. And he said, I'm going into a new room. I better drop this magazine and put a new one. There was no tactical thought process in it. It didn't really make sense. So this idea that someone can't shoot 7 rounds or 10 rounds and drop a magazine and put a new one, it took me effectively a second and a half when I was in the military to change out a magazine. Now I'm old and washed up, Chef. Maybe it takes me 2 seconds now.
Chad, the people that don't like guns are never going to like guns. Do you remember what that Journal News thing that went out a couple weeks ago?
No.
They put everybody's name on a
map. Oh, yeah.
What's the first thing they did? They hired armed guards.
Right.
I mean, why didn't they just have some...
No, we talked about that last week.
Why didn't they just have some people outside with a rolled up newspaper to hit people that wanted to come in and cause trouble?
I'm offended by this government. Federally, locally, statewide, I'm offended because it's okay to guard the governor with armed guards, but not my daughter. My daughters, my son, who go to elementary school, no, don't guard them with guns. But hey, governor, you get guarded by guns. The president of the United States, they have guns. They get, you know, the Secret Service has firearms, obviously. Those people are important enough, but my 10-year-old, my 6-year-old, my 9-year-old are not important enough. I'm offended by that. I'm offended. But I'm glad you brought that up because you know what the other argument I hear, Chef, and I love this one. Well, you know, firearms are a big responsibility, and we should regulate them, and we should absolutely license them and have training, just like we do cars.
Chad, could you pass the broccoli rod, please?
Yeah, thank you. But listen, cars. Okay, you got to register them, you got to insure them, you got to go through a test, right? You take a written test, we know it's a joke. And the driving test, we know that's a joke too, right? And you get your license to drive a car. First of all, cars are not protected by the Constitution of the United States. So we could stop talking about it there, but I'll indulge you with this argument. Okay, so they want rifle owners to register their guns the way people register cars, right? And they want gun owners to have licenses like they do for their cars. There are a few problems with this, of course. First, cars are not guns. I don't know if you guys realize that. Cars are more dangerous than my guns. More people are killed in car accidents every year than with guns. There are 96, you ready for this? 96,000 gun injuries, too much, I admit, per year. 32,000 of those are fatal. There are 3 million injuries and 41,000 deaths per year from the car. There are 60 million gun owners who own a lot of guns in this country, okay? There are 210 million registered cars, okay? So more people die in car accidents every year than by guns. So that's the first thing. So stop with your car thing because cars are way more dangerous. I fear cars more than anything. Cars are going to kill me before a gun does. I'm going to walk out of this studio, and I am certainly more likely to get run over in Bushwick than I am to be shot in Bushwick.
It could be a drive-by, too, though, Chad, a little combination.
Oh, that would be good. That would be poetic justice, wouldn't it? I've been going on for 2 shows now about this, and I walk out of the studio, get shot, and then run over by the car. That would be funny. But this argument that we need to license and register and people with guns. First of all, where is the proof that licensing, registering cars make them safe? More people die in car accidents, and they're all licensed, registered. We couldn't have a more in-depth system for registering and knowing every car on the street in this country, in the state, in the city, couldn't? But people die every day in cars, right? So the idea that we're going to register and license and that's somehow going to make people safe is, again, ridiculous. The fact is, with licensing and registering, okay, you are effectively squashing my Second Amendment rights, the Third Amendment, which I was going to get into, but I obviously don't have time. Look up the Third Amendment, my friends. It's the forgotten amendment. Everyone forgets about the Third Amendment. But the government cannot expect people to agree with this registry on any level. You know, okay, so I need a license to buy a rifle, okay? You don't need a license to buy a car, right? Right. I could go into a dealership, say, hi, I do not have a license to drive, but I really like that Denali. I don't know. What are the kids driving these days? That lowrider over there. Whatever. Right? I want that car. What's the guy, the car salesman's going to say, okay, sir, I don't care if you have a license or not. He's not going to let me drive off without insurance, but if I hire a flatbed, I could show up, put that car on, get it delivered to my house, correct? And drive it all day on my big property. I'll drive it past my shooting range, around the back of my house, I'll make a car path, drive it all day. Government can't do anything to me, right? Don't have to license it, don't have to. So give me that for guns. Just let me keep it in my house. Can I keep it in my house without registering it? License? No. Why not? What's the difference? Okay, you keep a car on your property without registering it, as long as you don't take it off your property. Second thing, if I register it, get insurance, license, pass my license test for my gun, okay, my AR, are you going to let me carry it wherever I want? Can I carry it into the city? Can I put it on my back and carry it anywhere I want like I can with my car? Take it over the bridge, take it upstate, bring it back like I can my car because it's legally registered, licensed, and ready to go. Had my inspection. You can inspect all that. I'll get a license when you let me carry my rifles wherever I want to go. They're not going to do that either. So stop with the comparison about licensing cars and guns and it's not even an argument. It's ridiculous. And guns and cars are not protected by the Second Amendment, Chef, once again. What else you got, Chef? Because I got a few interesting facts I looked up. I didn't know this before the show, but I want to throw this out there. Because
let's hear it.
Basically, to me, and I know this is going to sound a little, you know, the whole conspiracy theory thing, and people say I'm a little crazy about this, but, you know, the registry is what really bothers me the most about this. The registry of guns, them, the government knowing or having to know what firearms are, or how many firearms or ammunition people have, that bothers me the most. You look at New Orleans, all right, after the hurricane, they had a gun registry in that city. What happened? First thing the police did, the government did, was confiscate everyone's guns, the lawful gun owners. Because it was getting dangerous in that city. So let's take their guns away from them. That makes sense. Those people need those guns to protect themselves in a horrible situation where there's certainly home invasions. Can't deny that. It happened. Saw it all over the news. Looting, robbing, okay? And now, because we had a registry, the government went in and confiscated their guns for the safety of the public. It wasn't the law-abiding citizens who were using those guns for criminal activities. They were using them to protect themselves in their homes. So the registry bothers me. So I did a little research on it, and they say we need gun control because, to me, the registry leads to confiscation. That's the next logical step. In 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control. From 1929 to 1953, about 20 million dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. In 1911, Turkey established gun control. From 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Germany established gun control in 1938, and from 1939 to 1945, 13 million Jews and others who were unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. China established gun control in 1935. From 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Guatemala established gun control in 1964. From 1964 to 1981, 100,000 Mayan Indians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Uganda established gun control in 1970. From 1971 to 1979, 300,000 Christians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Cambodia established gun control in 1956. From 1975 to 1977, 1 million educated people, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Am I saying the government's going to come around and exterminate us? No, I'm not. But when we start going down this slippery slope, like I said last week, Chef, we're only a couple hundred years old and we're throwing away the Bill of Rights and our constitutional and our constitutional protections. And
we are definitely going in the wrong direction in many, many different areas.
Absolutely.
For the last 4 years and for the next 4 years to come.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I hate to even say this because I could go on and on. I have so many other arguments I want to get out there, but we're done. I feel better about this now. I got it out. It's your responsibility, gun owners, to fight for your rights, your constitutional rights to bear arms, to own firearms. It's your responsibility. I could only be one small part of it. We need to stand up. We also need to realize that guns are a problem in this country on some levels. Violence, mental health, these are all problems that we need to discuss. So I want to be able to meet in the middle and discuss bills, laws, various ways of making this a safer country. One more thing I want to say, and then we're going to say goodbye, Chef. But Pearl Harbor, just throw it out there, Pearl Harbor, right? After Pearl Harbor, there was a big push in the Japanese military that they should just seize this momentum they had in the war and invade mainland America. And you know what? The general, I forgot his name, one of the generals in Japan went to their imperial leader and said, no, you can't do that. Are you crazy? These Americans, they all have guns. There'll be a gun behind every blade of grass if we landed on American shores to invade them. It was a thought process. And don't tell me it's not possible, because Japan was one discussion away from landing troops in California, okay, and invading us. With our Constitution, we are safe. This country would never be invaded by a foreign troop. It's impossible with all the firearms we have in this country, safely and responsibly owned. You know, maybe I'm getting a little paranoid or crazy about this, but to me, it's the Second Amendment. It's the First Amendment. It's the Third Amendment. It's all the amendments. We need to protect them, all of them. They all lead to our rights and liberties, our pursuit of happiness.
I mean, if something like that does happen, all these gun haters, who are they going to call first?
Yeah.
I mean, anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Believe me.
After 9/11, anything is possible.
Absolutely. And we need to be prepared for that. And it's not about hunting, so knock it off with that. It's about protection. It's about being an American and the Second Amendment. Well, guess what? That's all the time we have. I would like to thank my producer, Jack the Gangster, for engineering today's show. I'd like to thank my co-host, Chris.
Thank you, Chad.
And like always, tune in next week to the Wild Game Domain. We're going to be back on track talking about hunting, cooking, and the great outdoors. Thank you, America. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.